Hey everybody, welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 96. Today is December 28th, 2010, and I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, PSN ID Murphy's Law 1969. Boy, it's starting off rough, guys. Joining me this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello, Skullduggerer. I'm currently sat here with a English single malt whiskey. Now, for anybody that doesn't drink whiskey, most whiskies come from Scotland. But this one's from England. And it's from Norfolk. Very nice.
I have to stop you there. most Scotch whiskies come from Scotland.
Correct.
American whiskies here.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be bourbon, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Only if it comes from Bourbon County, Kentucky.
Right. Okay. I hold my hands up, but I'm still drinking English whiskey.
Well, good for you. Are there any sleeping bags zipped up around you?
No, it's fairly mild around here at the moment. The only thing we've got that's a bit different to the norm is a little Shih Tzu puppy that we had to pick up from Sutton in Ashfield today.
I'm sorry, did you say you just shit?
Shih Tzu? I shit in the zoo. No, little puppy. Looks like an Ewok.
I can picture it now. Mr. Matthew, why don't you chime in since you corrected him on the whole whiskey incident?
On the whiskey incident?
Whiskey.
Hello.
Whip.
CPM1376 on Xbox Live, CP Matthew on PlayStation Network. You know by now if you've been listening. And I am sitting here with a bourbon whiskey from Bourbon County, Kentucky, which is also quite delicious.
Is it PT?
No. See, because it's made from corn. Okay. So I suppose it would be corny.
Yeah.
We don't have peat moss here, so no, we can't get that nice PT aroma that you're talking about.
It's a lot of whiskey talk.
Hey, so let me ask, while we're on the subject of whiskey, one of you British gentlemen might be able to tell me. I have this scotch that I drink sometimes, and I'm not certain that I'm pronouncing it correctly. It is spelled L-A-P-H-R-O-I-G-H, which I think is Laphroaige, but some other people say it's Laphroaig. How do you say it?
Say it again.
Silence.
That's good. Exactly what I expected. Let me spell it again. L-A-P-H-R-O-A-I-G.
Chris.
Yeah.
I've got Wikipedia telling me, with a little audio clip, it's pronounced Laphroaig.
Laphroaig. All right, so I was saying it wrong. Now I know.
Yeah.
Well, knowing is half the battle.
It was a Canadian dude that told me it was pronounced Laphroaige, so it's all his fault.
Oh yeah, well the Canadians, they're French influenced anyway, so they want to Laphroaige it up.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's his fault, buddy.
They'd do anything to screw us up.
They would.
This is a gaming podcast, not a whiskey podcast.
It is a gaming podcast.
Hey, look, Mom, VG talk about shit for the first 15 minutes, we can do it as well.
We can talk about whatever we want, but I personally want to talk about games, and I want to talk about games with Mr. Richard Webster.
Yeah, hello chaps. It's good to be back again in the hot seat.
Yes, we have missed you.
I know, I've missed you guys too. Do you know what? It's like 3 degrees outside, but it's warm as hell because it's just been so cold lately. And because it's been so cold, I've been playing lots of games indoors.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's win-win situation, yeah.
It is.
And we're here to do with the end of your show, aren't we? We've got some awards to give out and whatnots.
Yeah. Well, why don't you, let everybody know your gamer tag.
Yeah, my gamer tag is a Big Bad Daddy, and yes, I'm one of those twats who has a one instead of an I.
Because you're leet.
Yeah, because I'm leet. Elite hacksaws, leet zones. And my eBay account is rwebster85. If you want to buy off me, go to my store, which doesn't exist.
Okay. We are just pulling out all the stops for this show today. We do have one sad note, and that is Mr. Mike Chin could not be with us tonight. He does apologize profusely. It, of course, it's the second week in a row that he's missed the show, which has honestly never happened before. It's kind of crazy talk. But he just, he called me today and he said, you know, Greg, I would love to be there again, but honestly, I have better things to do. They're British things, of course. And, so he said that, he should return next week. So.
Well, we wish him well with his British things, whatever he does.
He's just after, he just wants bigger hugs and bigger kisses for the new year. He does.
And those British things, they get complicated. You know, with all the transvestites and the goats. It's crazy. I get it. But okay. So this is a video game podcast, and more importantly, this is the official podcast of the Gate community, which is g4te.com, in case you were wondering how to spell that. And basically we are the voice of the people of Gate. It's kind of exciting. And today is a special, a very special podcast, because today we're talking game of the year. We're talking, you know, basically who was the best of the best in 2010. Now, before we dive into all of that, we're going to keep you guys just waiting, because I know you can't wait to hear who won and what deserved and what didn't deserve the win, but we're going to talk about
what experts think about it. What us gaming insiders think is the best, because you obviously hang on every word we say.
They do. They do, in fact. But yeah, so we're going to move right into a little of what we've been playing.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
So yeah, what have we been playing? You know, I will take the lead for once. Mine's a real short list though, because what I was playing basically was a little Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam prior to Christmas, and then a lot of NHL 11 post-Christmas. Outside of that, I spent a lot of time driving in snow, and that sums up what I've been playing.
GT5? Weather conditions.
Yes, weather conditions, but not GT5 weather conditions. We're talking real world, get out of your car, put chains on your tires conditions.
You had snow in San Francisco.
No, I traveled up to Reno for Christmas to see my folks and braved Donner Pass, where many people fell way back when.
I drove through Donner Pass, I think.
Yeah?
No, I didn't actually. No, I came through the Southern Pass.
It's probably smart. You would have had to eat oxen and potentially any other living being inside your car if you got stuck. It happens.
I didn't have any oxen in my car. I'd have been ass out.
But yeah, so NHL 11 got that for the old Christmas gift, and I love a good hockey game, and NHL 11 definitely does not disappoint. Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam, I believe we talked about it last week, but it's good stuff. Definitely enjoying some games with you, Mr. Primrose. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me. So why don't we just move down the list? Skull, you're up next.
Yes, I too have been enjoying the Battlefield Vietnam, and yeah, I want to get some more of that in, because I know more people have picked it up. Best Dutch sent me a message early in the week. I want to have another go on that, definitely. What else have I been playing? I was travelling too for Christmas, so I didn't get much time to go on the Xbox, seeing as though my son has acquired a used copy of Harry Potter from Santa Claus, Lego Harry Potter that is, and I have not been able to touch my Xbox in the first couple of days after Christmas, apart from having a quick blast on Beatles Rock Band, and everybody's probably talked about that before. So, with me being in exile from my house and not being near my Xbox, I prudently picked up Minecraft for my laptop and was having a look at what all the fuss is all about. And, yeah, it's crazy, that game, isn't it? It's like Lego with zombies. That's the best way of describing it. And there's other elements to it, too, because, I mean, nobody told me about things coming out at night and killing you. I was happily building shit and trying to make myself some nice little residence. Then all of a sudden the sun goes down and all manner of creepy crawlies and beasties come out. Yeah, and they all sound like perverted blokes.
Really?
Wandering around in that, yeah. Yeah, yeah, lots of grunting and stuff. Yeah, so it's very basic, it's very blocky, but it's got a very, it's got a really nice charm to it.
Now, have you had anybody come into your game and, like, destroy your house or anything like that? Because I believe you can do that, correct?
Yeah, and people can basically dig holes under your feet and make you drop down into big caverns and you can't get out again, and then fill them in afterwards. But no, I haven't played any of the multiplayer yet.
Is that the online equivalent of being stuffed in a locker?
Yeah. Yeah. It's got its Sims elements to it, I believe, where you can just basically shit on people from a great, very great height. I know that Rabid Scotsman from the Gamesman, he's got some server set up that's got some Castle in the Sky malarkey going off, and I look to join in that, if he'll let me in, and not undo his hard work. But yeah, the other thing that I would say about it as well, which is probably the most interesting thing, is you haven't got a bloody clue what all of the different materials do for you, because basically you walk around with nothing to start off with.
Right.
So you can dig up soil, you can chop down trees with your hands, and you will obtain whatever material you've just got rid of. So you could have cobblestones, you could have wood, or you could have sand, or you could have soil, yeah?
Okay.
And once you get that, you can combine it together and basically start making different things. So, for instance, the first thing you've got to do, really, is get some wood together, turn that into planks, and then create a workbench. And then from that workbench, you can then combine, like a very basic Dead Rising 2, you can combine to make cool things. So you can make pickaxe, and you can make furnaces and stuff like that, and torches and so on. And I've still not worked out how to bloody get some flames together. I've been digging down underground looking for some bloody coal for ages, and I can't find any. I just keep getting cobblestones and gravel, which is a bag of shit. Anyway, but yes, it's marvellous. It's very good to look at. If you get yourself up onto the top of a mountain and everything, and build yourself a nice tower, you can look down on all your surroundings, and even though it's in 8-bit pixels and everything, it looks really nice, and it's very good. So,
okay.
Fully enjoyed that, yeah. And then, tonight, we had a little bit of a impromptu organized Overseas Connection Gate Community Assassin's Creed Brotherhood get together, with Chris and, a few other people, Dave Dogg and, also Soup Dragon Dan and, Cale Ingram. And also we had, come on, remind me, Chris. Who else?
Mark Canix,
of course. Mark Canix was in. And, yeah, tried out all the different game modes on that. And, God, it's original.
Yeah, nothing like stabbing somebody in the face, huh?
Yeah, it's really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was on the losing end a lot, but, yeah, we tried out all the different game modes and everything. And I'll definitely be going back onto that. It's got a neat little ranking up system as well, which I like. Oh yeah.
All right.
That's me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Chris, why don't we follow up with you?
Well, as Skull Duggaro mentioned, I was playing the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer and having a good old time. Also on the losing end of a few stabbings in the face, but these things do happen, don't they? But yeah, it's good fun. I think we're going to have to do that more often. Especially so we can all unlock the poison and poison Dave Dog, who is level 46 or something ridiculous like that. So I got back into Fallout New Vegas. I finished up. So I think I mentioned this before. There's like four endings.
Right.
So I finished up the second of the four, where you support the evil genius, character. And I also did that in the hardcore mode, so I finished up the game in the hardcore mode, which was
you.
You know, but the thing was, it wasn't really that difficult. The only real challenge with the hardcore mode is, you know how you can get your limbs crippled,
right?
Your limbs get crippled much more easily when you're in hardcore mode. Okay. You know, as far as sleeping and eating and drinking water. The eating and drinking water I found myself doing anyway because I was constantly trying to recover hit points.
Right.
And then you just got to make sure to sleep every now and again. So it really wasn't that big a deal. But yeah, so I got that done. Now I'm working on supporting the Californians. Working on finishing up that ending. And then...
And can I just interject real quick? You should support the Californians.
Actually, I should detonate some nuclear weapons along the fault line and put California in the ocean. But that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
That's from Superman. Lex Luthor tried to do that. Then Superman flew around the world backwards a long time ago.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Well, you were probably in college when that movie came out.
Shh, we're not allowed to talk about those times.
And then I picked up the downloadable World of Keflings, which is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It's very similar to Kingdom for Keflings, with just enough changes to make it interesting. So I've been enjoying that. Although I finished it today, all the achievements and everything. So I probably won't play it much unless somebody needs some help with their kingdom. Yeah.
All right. Mr. Webster, let's finish up with you.
Yeah, sure. So I've obviously been away for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So I'll just run through a couple of things I've been playing. I got Dead Rising 2 off Love Film. And, not really that good.
It didn't feel like it was a vast improvement over the first one, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So.
No, it seemed really kind of, I don't really know how to put it, but it just didn't really seem to do anything new.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
No, I feel you.
The multiplayer was fun though. I played the multiplayer for a bit, and that was quite fun. It was like a game show, and you know the start of Dead Rising 2?
Right.
When you're on the bike, it's that. That's the multiplayer.
Okay.
So it's quite fun. But I'll probably be sending that back soon. I should really actually send it back because it's just sitting there for weeks.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Was playing GoldenEye on the DS.
GoldenEye on the DS?
Yeah, a family member got that for their birthday or Christmas or whatever it was the other day. I can't remember.
Okay, what did you think? Is it worthy of praise on the DS? I know a lot of people liked it on the Wii.
Well, it's the first-person shooters on the DS is very weird. I've played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 on the DS. And you sort of, with the left hand, you use the D-pad to move around and the left button to shoot. And you use the stylus to aim.
Okay.
Now you can switch it so that you use the A, B, X, Y buttons to aim instead, but because they're not an analog, it doesn't really work very well. It's really slow, you know, to
look
up and down. It's okay, I suppose. You know, it's. I thought it was going to be a remake because of some of the screenshots I've seen were kind of like the first level, the dam level, but it's not a remake. It's just a
support. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit meh.
Something that could pass the time in a situation where you needed something to do to pass the time, but not something you would necessarily go out and buy.
Yeah, it's the kind of game that you grab when you're going to the toilet.
Okay.
When you've got no game manuals to read.
There you go. GoldenEye DS. It's a game for the toilet.
Yeah, there you go. Obviously, Black Ops. Playing that. What else? Oh, yeah. Elder Scrolls V got announced of the week.
Okay.
I creamed. I sold my house and bought it again. That's how excited I was.
I thought of you when they announced that game.
Mate, I was dreaming of that because for years now, Todd Howard's been saying, oh no, we're not really thinking about it yet. Maybe we'll do something with it. And they've announced that it's coming out in a year, which means they've been working on it for a couple of years. So he was lying to us.
I know.
But it's good though because it's a new engine and all this. And it's in Skyrim. Now, a lot of people, I'm just going to throw this out there now for some people. A lot of people think of Skyrim. They think of the north of Cyrodiil in Oblivion, you know, where Bruma was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all snowy and all that. But if you Google Norwegian landscape, because Skyrim, in the lore of the Elder Scrolls, it's kind of loosely based on Norway. If you Google Norwegian landscape, you'll just see what kind of places they're going to create for this game, and it's awesome. I didn't know Norway was... If you imagine New Zealand in Lord of the Rings, that's what Norway's like. It's just
okay.
Awesome. So I've been playing Morrowind and Oblivion and stuff. I think I might play through those games again this year, leading up to it, because it's coming out in November.
That's dedication.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. Battlefield Play for Free. Remember when that got announced?
Oh, yeah. How's that?
I got into the beta.
And what do you think?
It's good, actually. It's really good. It's the map and the beta is Carcand from Battlefield 2.
Okay.
There's vehicles in it. And the graphics and the way the game's sort of engine works is like Bad Company 2. The Frostbite engine's not there. Nothing's destructible.
Okay.
But the way your characters sort of move and the way you shoot and stuff, it's kind of like Bad Company 2. And the XP system's quite interesting as well, because you get XP for a hit, not just a kill.
I like it.
So you'll be shooting and you'll get like 10 flashing up, kind of like Borderlands a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it'll flash up 10 and then you kill them and stuff. And it's really good. It's a browser-based game as well. And
yeah,
so it's definitely something that you'll be able to,
Does it run smoothly? I mean, any lag issues that you notice? Any kind of frame hiccups or tearing?
It seems to run at a bit of a low frame rate. I think it's like 20 or 30 frames per second. It's not going to be like blistering Call of Duty style. But that's something that everyone's going to experience, so you're not going to have it disadvantaged. It's just a slower paced sort of game, really.
Okay.
And there was a few hiccups with the server and stuff not connecting properly and your mouse disappearing. But it's a beta, so I'm going to work those out.
Right.
The main game I want to talk about is... I got two games for my birthday, because it's my birthday on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. By the way, belated happy birthday. Hopefully you caught our birthday wishes to you last week.
I'm 25 now, Greg.
I know.
25. No, my friend, my brother's friend called me up on my birthday and said, like, happy birthday, mate. And he said, how old are you now? I said, 25. And he went, oh, wow, you're getting old, aren't you? Because he's only, like, 20. And I thought, fucking hell, people are going to start saying that, aren't they? You're getting old now.
No, it's still going to be a while. Yeah. Trust me.
Well, I still look 12, so I'm all right.
Probably the first real, like, kick to the nads is when you go into, say, like, a local shop or something, and, you know, you see a kid that, you know, he's working behind the counter, and he's probably in that 18 to 20 year old range, and you're feeling like you're, you know, probably still kind of close in range to him, and he says either sir or mister to you.
All right.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of like, oh, yeah, I feel old.
You don't get that over here, mate.
You not at all.
No, our country's full of chavs.
we just get mate or lad.
Do you guys?
Oh, mate.
This is a little ignorance on my part, and again, this is totally a non-video game, but, you know, we're talking birthdays here. You guys do have a legal drinking age, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is?
18.
18. So, are you at that point that you still get carded once in a while, Mr. Webster, if you ever buy alcohol for somebody?
I don't drink. I get a lot of headaches, I buy paracetamol quite often, and the age for them is 16, and I get ID'd for them all the time.
Yeah. So.
For 16.
Yeah. It'll be that other shocking moment when the person just looks at you and you're thinking, okay, they're gonna ask me for my ID, and then it's just like, okay, that'll be, you know, 10 pounds. And you're like, what the hell? Although that's probably really expensive, but still.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for some paracetamol, they're like 12p.
Whatever.
You chummy nuts.
Yeah, but back onto games, guys.
Back onto games.
Yeah, thanks for the birthday messages, by the way. I got a few on Facebook. I think, Chris, you gave me one.
He's not talking to you anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, Chris gave me one. I don't know if you did, Skull or Greg. I can't remember.
We gave you love on the show.
Oh, that's it.
Yes, we made a big deal and announcement of your birthday. Made sure everybody knew you were turning 25 and getting an insurance discount.
Aw. Yeah, thanks. Oh, I updated me Avast antivirus, and I'm now in the next age group, 25 to 31. Yes! Anyway, back onto games. I got two games for my birthday. I got Fallout New Vegas, which I've already been playing on PC, but I got it for 360.
Okay.
I haven't really been playing it much on PC, to be honest, because I knew I was getting it on 360. I was just kind of messing around with mods and all sorts, so I've not spoiled it for myself. And Fable 3 I got as well.
Fable 3.
And I am addicted to Fable 3. It is an awesome game.
Yeah, you know, I was really enjoying Fable 3, and I don't know, maybe it was Call of Duty Black Ops that came out, I don't know what, but I was playing it, and I haven't gone back to it since. And I was on a tear, and yeah, I think it's a great game.
Yeah, I mean, there's frame rate issues, like, unbelievable, which is... It's almost unforgivable because it's a console game, so it's supposed to be optimized and designed for the console hardware, but yet there's still frame rate issues where it slows down a lot, and I don't understand why.
You know,
it goes slow-mo.
Yeah, no, I think it all kind of goes back to Peter Molyneux games, which they are imperfect, perfect games.
Hmm.
That's the way I like to put it, at least.
Yeah.
I was having a discussion about this on Twitter the other night, you know, to do with, like, the glitches and stuff in Fallout New Vegas.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they get away with it? It seems like Molyneux and Bethesda are a bit bulletproof, aren't they? It's almost acceptable that these games are going to come out and have things wrong with them. If it was anything else that came out, if you would have had the same thing with, say, a Call of Duty game...
It would have ripped
its shreds.
I think you could make some... Actually, a big argument that Call of Duty did come out with a lot of glitches, especially on the multiplayer side. You look back at Mass Effect, the first Mass Effect, and good God, that game had all kinds of little bugs and glitches to it. But I think the common denominator out of almost all of these games that get away with it, as you're saying, is that they have either really well-crafted story and excellent voice acting that just makes you look past the glitches. The game in its core is so good that you're willing to put up with the little, you know, glitches here and there and continue to play through it.
Well, it's games, you know, you mentioned the games that have the great voice acting and the well-crafted narrative, but I think it's also the depth of it. You kind of expect a project like Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas to have a few hiccups just because of how huge it is. Whereas if Call of Duty comes out, Call of Duty is all about the multiplayer. So if the multiplayer is broken when the new Call of Duty releases, you know, people are just going to be up in arms. Whereas, you know, if you have some frame rate issues with your Fable or your Fallout, you can just kind of suffer through it until they patch it.
I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying, but I mean, I think even Call of Duty gets a big pass with the massive, or at least the media, in that, you know, it is such a good multiplayer experience that even though it does have a lot of glitches, because I mean, certainly Black Ops has had quite a few glitches and issues with it that people have been bitching and moaning about continuously, but yet everybody still continues to play it because the core mechanic, as you were saying, the core of the game is just that good.
And so, I think that's why I still enjoy Fable 3 so much. I can look past it. And plus, because I'm from a PC background, I know all about frame rate issues and all that, and in the past I've played games that have had them. But from my understanding of it, the reason they're there anyway in the first place with PC games is those games are designed for specific hardware sets. And if you don't meet the requirements, you're going to have issues. But even if you surpass them greatly, you can still have issues because, like, your sound hardware might not be, you know, what right. the game was designed for. And what my point is with Fable 3 is it's been designed for the 360. No matter what SKU or what year it was made, the hardware is exactly the same. It's the same RAM, the same, core speed of the processors, same CD drive. Everything's the same. So the game must just be coded badly. But I do still love the game. I can still look past that in the hope that they will patch it.
Well, and Rich, to that point, I think one of the issues that they're running into specifically with regards to the Fable series is they've been working off the same game engine from the second Fable that Fable 3 was basically built on, just kind of upgraded. And I think when you start kind of just making reiterations on the same game engine, you start running into bigger problems than something that's designed from the ground up again, you know, to run smoothly.
No, I agree, But, I mean, you said before about the common denominator, but I think the common denominator of the games we've mentioned, so like Fallout, Fable, Call of Duty, and Mass Effect, is they're actually cross-platform, aren't they? Fable 3 is going to come out on the PC, and Call of Duty can't come out on all consoles. Mass Effect came out on the PC, with Fallout coming out on all consoles, so maybe, you know, there's something's happened in the coding that's just not been done properly, or, you know, there's a mistake been made somewhere. That's the only thing I can think of, because if you look at solid games that are for a console and that's it, like Bioshock and Halo, no problems. I can't remember a single glitch really in Halo 3 or, you know, Bioshock 1 and, you know, the Rock Band, you know, these sorts of games are perfectly made, so Maybe it's because there are no other consoles and PCs and all that business.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it goes back to, again, we are willing to overlook or look past glitches, and may not even notice them sometimes because they are so slight, and because we're so in love with that game that we're willing to look past it. We're willing to kind of overlook it and maybe not even notice it.
Two Worlds comes to mind for me and you there, mate.
Yeah, that had a lot of glitches, though. I don't know that I can look past that. All right.
Well, that's it for me anyway, boys.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that, Rich. And, you know, now would be a time where we'd be jumping in to talk about the news. But to be honest, there is really no big news out there. There might be one or two stories, but it's really just not worth us taking some time to talk about the news. So instead, we're really just dedicating the show to the most important thing right now, which is, of course, our Game of the Year awards. So what we're going to do is we're going to run through we went last week and kind of talked about all the different games that had kind of made our nomination lists. And what we're going to do now is run through each category. We're going to give you the top three vote getters for our categories and then let you know who the winner is. And then, of course, we will round it out with the actual Game of the Year for us, as well, of course, the Game of the Year for the Gate community, because they actually participated in a vote for their Game of the Year. And so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Well, Rich, you, Skulldugger, were just awesome in getting this together and getting everybody to put their votes in and count them up. More importantly, it was really the counting part. I think you had your kids and your dogs, and even that Shih Tzu was probably counting things up until the very last minute. But I'm going to let you kind of kick it off and start it up.
Yeah, okay. Big thanks to everybody that took time out to fill out the forums and everything. And the first one we're going to start off with is favorite XBLA/PSN game for 2010. Went through the nominations last week, and we've narrowed that down to three. So, this is your first runner-up, which is Limbo. A lot of people loved that. I know it was getting a lot of hype from all of the reviewers as well earlier in the year. Then the second runner-up was one that I know bit a few people on the Gate forums for the multiplayer aspect, which was Monday Night Combat, which has recently had a big patch on it, which has improved it no end. And finally, the winner, possibly controversial, as it wasn't actually complete when it was released, but a lot of people did like it. That was Lara Croft, Guardian of Light.
I think it's a deservedly, winner for this category. Kind of hard for me to say that correctly, but, it was an excellent single player game. It was an excellent co-op game, from a couch co-op standpoint. And then, you know, once they patched it in for the multiplayer, I mean, it is just probably the most polished and well-rounded game out of all of them. Monday Night Combat, I think, was probably, maybe for me, my second runner-up. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I mean, I just didn't feel like it was as complete an experience as Lara Croft Guardian of Light. Just the polish of that game really stood out for me. Okay. And on that note, with all the silence, we'll just move on to the next category. And that's going to be most original game of 2010. And so I will go ahead and field this one. So this was a really interesting category, because a lot of different games came into play on this this category, and we nailed it down to three, and that was Minecraft, Elo Milo, or Elo Milo, depending on how you want to say that, and then Heavy Rain. And the winner, we came out with Heavy Rain as winning for most original game. And I think, honestly, you could probably make an argument for any of those games to win this category. I think it could have been really probably a different scenario had a few of us been a little more involved with Minecraft. That game truly might have edged out to be most original. But Heavy Rain took it, and again, like I said, all three deservedly so. Heavy Rain was just a very unique spin on a fantastic storyline, just plagued by some interesting choices on controlling and, of course, poor French voice acting. All right. So, Mr. Webster, I believe you have the next category, which is Best Supporting Character of 2010.
Yeah, I do. It seems like a bit of the you know, the short end of the stick here. Best supporting character. Thanks. Yeah. Oh, saying that though, Joe Pesci won Best Supporting Actor in Goodfellas, so it's not a bad reward.
No. I mean, any reward's a good reward, if you ask me.
Yeah. The Loser Award, like from Dinner with the Schmucks. Or the Stupid Award. Anyway, that's a film you might not have seen. So, Best Supporting Character of 2010. We've got three here. Maybe controversial, some of these. We have Morden Solus from Mass Effect 2. He was the Salarian doctor you recruit.
Yep.
And we have Trip from Enslaved, which I did play. But is that the woman?
Yes, that is the woman.
Okay. And yeah, she did a good voice, actually. And thirdly was Joe Barbaro from Mafia 2. Again, look at that. Mafia. I mentioned Joe Pesci. Is Joe Barbaro.
Yeah.
And the winner overall, we thought, was Joe Barbaro for Mafia 2.
Yeah, he was an excellent. Yeah, he was excellent as a supporting character.
Was he a true greaseball? Was he a proper wise guy?
He was a proper wise guy, but kind of a funny wise guy too.
He was funny, and he was a loose cannon, and he maintained a strong role throughout the game.
Yes, he really did maintain that strong role.
Yeah.
Morden Solus, I think, was our standout from Mass Effect 2, but honestly, we went down that list and we pretty much could have placed any of the secondary characters on this list, with the exception of maybe Jacob, which we all felt was kind of the cookie cutter character, but, certainly Mass Effect 2 had quite a cast. We wanted to just narrow it down to the one.
I mean, Jacob seemed like the token black guy, you know, in the films where they just seem to have a random guy, like in Not Another Teen Movie. His part didn't seem as thick as the others, but I think I agree with you. You know, all the characters in the show.
So you think he probably had one of the weakest side stories as well?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was really
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas that Miranda, she was genetically engineered to be fit and.
Was she ever?
By her dad, and it was all crazy.
No, I went for the Max Babe.
I went for the blue. I did the alien again, I think.
We need to stop talking about this, or I'm going to get a chubby. Alright, moving on. Best main character. Chris, you've got this one covered.
Yes, the winner's award, as opposed to the second runners-up award, if you will.
Yeah.
So, the best main characters. So, we had Monkey, who was the dude from Enslaved.
Yes.
And, Vittorio Scalecca.
Yep. Mafia 2.
Mafia 2. And I don't think there's really any surprise in this one. We all kind of agreed that Rockstar did a great job fleshing out this character to make him, very interesting. And that was, of course, John Marston from Red Dead Redemption. Very well written and well acted character that we all had a good time. Viewing the story.
You know, he was not only well written and well acted, but I thought it was a great kind of departure for Rockstar to get a main character that actually showed some morals and principles this time, as opposed to most of the Rockstar games, you know, they let you just do anything and everything, you know, and this time, you know, he wouldn't sleep with a hooker.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And it was because, you know, you weren't allowed to, but, you know, they backed it up with, you know, his moral standing of, I've got a wife. And it played into the main storyline. And it was kind of nice to see that moral standing actually was something that made sense within the game frame.
And I think he did represent the epitome of redemption itself, you know, the things he'd done in his past. And he had a family, which I think he sort of felt like he was letting his family down because there was issues with his son, wasn't there, where his son didn't really get on with him and he took him to hunt to try and build a relationship and all that. And then, well, we all know what happened in the end. So I think John Marston is definitely the best character of the year.
Agreed.
You know, what happened in the end? I don't know.
Oh, John died.
No. It was the aliens came down out of the sky, took the kids and the cows. Yep.
Morden Solus found him in the woods.
Yep. Moving on. Best co-op experience of 2010. Mr. Skulldugger, I believe you have this one covered.
Yes. This was quite an intriguing one. You've got the aspect of Red Dead Redemption, which was very strong, both multiplayer and co-op, and largely due to the DLC that they were chucking out for free and to pay for, and that was one of them. And another one, which I think a lot of people have overlooked, but was really, really strong, in both mine and Chris's opinion, was a Splinter Cell Conviction. They did a totally, it was like a different campaign, altogether. And, yeah, that was very good. And, but the winner, and we spoke about it last week, being a strong asset to the franchise, and it should be included in the next iteration, is Battlefield Bad Company 2's Onslaught mode, which came out about midway through its DLC cycle, and I think it did come at a time where it got largely overlooked, and I know there was a little hardcore people that I used to play with it, and it was really good, and I think if they stuck that in the package from the beginning, it's going to put it out there as a lot stronger title for next time. So hopefully Battlefield 3, Onslaught Mode included. But that's your winner, Onslaught Mode for Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah, I think if there's one takeaway we can get with Onslaught is that hopefully EA doesn't try to piecemeal out the game modes like they did this go round. Just like you said, if they can include these things in from the get-go, I think it helps the Battlefield series just tenfold over. So, anyway, let's move on to the next pick, which is Best Multiplayer 2010. And this was we kind of had a latecomer into the rankings here. Call of Duty Black Ops, I don't think it's a surprise there, and Battlefield Bad Company 2, neither one surprising that they're, heading up the list. But Assassin's Creed Brotherhood really does need to be talked up here, because that made it into the list kind of late, just due to the late release of that game, and not having had, most of us having played it. So it was kind of a surprise to see that sneaking into this top three list. But it's well deserving. But ultimately, not the winner. The winner is Battlefield Bad Company 2. And
what I like to see.
Yeah, I don't think there is a better shooter multiplayer experience out there than Battlefield Bad Company 2 right now. With the destructible environments, the cooperative play, going to and they keep it, I know they have the team deathmatch mode, but honestly, it is all about Conquest and Rush, and those gameplay modes are just perfect for online play. And so, big hats off to Battlefield Bad Company 2. Well deserving.
Do you know what? I'm made up because I've been tooting about Battlefield Bad Company. Sorry, Battlefield in general, since episode 1.
Yeah.
And I'm really made up that it's won an award. I know it's only one of our awards, but the fact that people who've been playing Call of been weaned basically on Halo and Call of Duty for the best part of a decade to be turned to the dark side, shall I say, of Battlefield, and I'm really pleased that Battlefield Bad Company 2 has won, because it is a great experience to play online.
I'll add into what Richard's saying there as well. I think a lot of people will shout out and say, well, Call of Duty is miles more popular. It is, but a lot of people that play that game, they can play it just on their own. You can happily jump in there, and it's not really a true multiplayer game. And I think this iteration of Battlefield, Bad Company 2, has seen a lot of people from the Call of Duty franchise switch over and think to themselves, there is a different team game out there that is worth playing. So I've got a feeling that, in the future, if they present that package a lot better from the off, they're going to have a lot more popular game that's got a lot more longevity. There's nothing denying that it will sell well, whatever. But they need to keep the people on it for longer. That's where they're failing. And if they can do that package from the off a lot better, then they're going to be on to a winner.
No, agreed. Well, let's move on to a great experience, as in a single player experience. Mr. Webster, I believe you are tackling this.
Yeah, this is an award with a bit more substance, really, for me. Thank you very much. Best single player, 2010. We've got three games, and I think they're all games that we all agree. This is, unlike some of the other awards, this is one that we've all played. We all sort of come to a head, and it was hard to pick just three. But we've gone with Alan Wake, which was earlier in the year. Which took a long time to make. We've gone with Red Dead Redemption, for obvious reasons. You know, that could go without saying. That's from the start of the year. And Mass Effect 2, again, from the start of the year. It seems like there was no good single-player games from, like, half the year onwards. It was all multiplayer, wasn't it? You know, Halo, Call of Duty, all that business. But we've gone. We delegated this. It took about 4 days straight. No sleep. Kind of like jury service. We were in a hotel room, you know, Chinese food. Mass Effect 2 is our winner. Best single-player game. And you know what? It gave me goosebumps playing that game. It really did showcase what storytelling, narrative, and gameplay could be combined as, and it is a spectacle and is definitely a gem of this generation.
I don't think you could have said that any better.
Thank you.
That sums it up nicely. All right, so we're going to move on now to our picks for best overall game of the year. So, Chris, you're going to be tackling this, and I believe you're going to be kind of segmenting this out to kind of each of our picks.
Yeah, I'm going to be tackling it all right, like Terry Tate.
Nice reference.
Whoa!
American football reference there for those folks over in the UK.
It's a Reebok commercial reference.
Yeah, I love it.
People who like shoes. So we each had, I shouldn't say we each. There were of course five of us, and between the five of us we picked three games that we thought were best overall game of the year. So Rich, you'll have to speak up for Chinny, because your choice was Red Dead Redemption. And that's not a bad one. So what do you think puts that one at the top of the list?
Well, I think me and Michael both agree that the storyline, although it was a bit weak at points, you know, it dipped, if you see the storyline as a golden thread. But, I mean, the high points were there, and the narrative was there, and it really did take you on a journey in a narrative sense. And the gameplay itself was just masterful. It was everything that Rockstar had been making up until this point sort of culminated into it. You know, you had the exploration and, you know, the in-depth character design from San Andreas, you know, mixed in with living, breathing world of GTA 4, and I think it all combined into this great sort of this adventure, really. It really did take you on a ride, and the story was very moving, and the music was awesome, and, you know, by the end of the game, when you do finally finish the game, you sort of do breathe a sigh of relief, as John would have, you know, after completing all the tasks, and the multiplayer as well just added to the fun. I think it just, it was a great all-around game.
And well said. So, Skull, your choice was Silent Hill with a flashlight, or a torch, or, as I like to call it, Alan in the Dark. But it was a long-awaited Alan Wake. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I'll first of all, I'll take up the Silent Hill with a flashlight. Little bit of a dig there. I take this as being an original game, and whereas you might say that it's like Silent Hill with a flashlight, something that adds massively to what I'd see as being Silent Hill is the fact that it is way more playable. The controls and everything do what Heavy Rain couldn't do. But they wanted to add originality and a different aspect to gameplay. And as far as I was concerned, even though I didn't play it, hearing everybody talking about it, it seemed like it fell short as far as the actual gameplay was concerned. That is the main thing for me. I do like my narratives. But I probably don't hold them in as higher esteem as a lot of other people who are mad keen on their single players. The thing that put this game over and above anything that I'd played before was the sound design in it. Not just the licensed music, the whole atmosphere created by the sound in the game, the slow motion suspense periods where you know something bad's going to happen, and then the original score that was in it, the way that it was cut into the chapters. Although it seems pretty obvious, it was done in a way that was just so much better than anything that had been done before. So, for me, and then also, I'll put on top of that, and you guys would probably argue with DLC for Red Dead Redemption, but for pure quality of the installments that they added afterwards, I'd say that Alan Wake was above with the DLC that they put out. And I would also say this, if they was to say to me, I'm going to give you a chapter every 2 months to add to this story and do it just like you'd be watching a TV series, I'd snap their hands off, because everything they did with that game was so polished that, yeah, it just left me wanting more all the time. So, Alan Wake for me.
Well done. And, Greg, you and I put in Mass Effect 2 as our game of the year.
Yes, we did.
So, for me, I thought they did such a great job of listening to the feedback from the first one and fixing a lot of the issues that they had with Mass Effect 1, and then building on the narrative. There were only a few subtle clues as to the big decisions you had to make in Mass Effect 1, in Mass Effect 2, but I think in Mass Effect 3, we're going to see those play out. So I thought, you know, as if you look at Mass Effect as a trilogy, then this would be the Empire Strikes Back of the Mass Effect trilogy, and I thought they did a pretty good job with that. What were your high points?
Very much kind of along the lines of what you were saying. I mean, all the different corrections and iterations they did from the first game to make the second game, you know, so much smoother and just a more refined experience for me was a big plus. Most importantly, though, it was the storyline and the delivery of the story that really had this game just cemented in for me for Game of the Year. I will say real quickly, Red Dead Redemption was a very, very close second place for me. I thought both stories actually ended up having kind of their letdown moments, in terms of, the endings. Mass Effect 2 and I'm going to try not to give spoilers away here, but it was just, the final kind of one of the final boss battle, if you will, moments was a bit of a letdown to me. Leading up to it, it was just spectacular in the decisions that they made and their use of an iteration on the squad mechanics in the last half of the game or the last third of the game I thought was brilliant. And that's really just kind of where I really wanted to run with it. I mean, it made me want to play more Mass Effect. And it left me wanting to just get on to the third. I can't wait for it to happen. So I know, Mr. Webster, you wanted to say something here.
Yeah, I'm just going to, although I support Red Dead Redemption on this, and I just want to throw out that there was just so much to do in Red Dead Redemption, you know, the stranger missions and the random encounters and all that, blah, blah, blah. But there are two moments in Mass Effect 2 that really stick out in my mind, and because I've played it twice, I've got to experience them twice. And without giving too many spoilers away, the beginning, the opening scene, and when the thing happens on the ship, and then that thing happens where you're floating.
Right.
And then it comes up Mass Effect 2, and the way it goes all silent, and you can hear his heartbeat, like, boom, boom, boom. And I just thought that was so cinematic. It was outstanding when I was playing it. You know, within the first 5 minutes, this is, and it's just awesome. That is a marvel. And the last bit was the cutscene when you go through the Omega 4 relay, and you drive, you know, your ship's piloting right towards the whatever that ship is, and you're going through all the rubble. I thought that was just, you know, I thought Halo Halo Wars had good cutscenes, but that was unbelievable.
Isn't it cool on that as well, where the assets that you've built up for your ship that you've been buying along the way come into play on that final scene, don't they? So if you've got
the thing hits and it's like, oh, you know, our such and such made us survive that. And I noticed that. I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah, it was indeed excellent, and it had those big wow moments. And then, you know, like I said, I thought they had a brilliant twist on the gameplay towards the end of the game. And in one respect, it's a disappointment for me because it was such an innovative spin on squad mechanics. I wanted them to have used that throughout the entire game because I thought they could have. I really thought they could have taken that and utilized that better in other areas. But I can't wait for number 3 now, because I know it'll be an integral part of number 3.
I liked how you could pause the game and you could move that wheel around and sort of pick who you want to target who, and you could target the same person and stuff. And, you know, it was all done almost like beyond real time, where, you know, it was quite well done. Whereas in the first Mass Effect, I don't know if you could move the wheel around. And I think Mass Effect 2 was just a lot more fluid, a lot better made. In fact, it makes me want to go out and buy it again. talking about it. It really does.
That's the closest thing you'd ever get me to doing a turn-based game for combat. I don't think I'd ever. I mean, the last time I did anything like that was Final Fantasy VII, and I think they really nailed it properly. For somebody like myself who would like to do stuff real time all the time, then that was a perfect medium. That was.
You could play the game like that if you wanted, but. You know, it was the quick, you could dip into it. Like, every now and then you'd think, oh, that guy's got a shield, I'll just throw an overload on him from someone and then carry on real-time fighting. And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more importantly, this go-round in Mass Effect 2, your supporting characters actually did what you asked them to do. That was a nice change, too. And that was one of those improvements that Chris was talking about. Whereas before, in Mass Effect 1, often you would give that squad mechanic or squad command, and you would just not get the results you wanted.
And in the first Mass Effect, you know, because you could only pick two people again, each sort of character had a specific skill set, and it was quite obvious where they were, but in Mass Effect 2, they were quite mixed up, weren't they? You know, there was more than one person that was good with assault rifles, but only one of them would be able to use snipers as well, and, you know, it would sort of change the game, really mold it all together.
You had to pick your squad mates, you know, based on what their skill sets were, as opposed to the first one, when you pretty much had just the same character for each character.
Yeah, you just think, oh, I'll have a sniper and I'll have an assault guy and that's it. But in Mass Effect 2, you know, your sniper might have, you know, medigel thing or whatever, an omni-tool, or your assault guy might also be able to use sniper rifles, so you might not need a sniper guy, you know. It was all that kind of stuff. It's good.
Yeah. So, you know, Chris brings up a great point. Sure, I've talked a lot about Mass Effect 2 for it not necessarily being, a overall Game of the Year winner for across the board for all of us.
I think it's because Red Dead Redemption sort of had the multiplayer, but I don't know, are we going to pick one out of these three? Because these are sort of our own picks.
You know, I think we leave it as is. These are our individual picks. Let's move on. Let's get to the community's pick. And, Mr. Primrose, you were the guy behind that, and the secret sauce of counting it all up, all that good stuff, so go ahead.
Yeah, so straight from the mouths of the people that matter, the G4TE community, we've got...
Wait a minute. The people that matter, they matter if they agree with us. If they disagree with us, though, that's a different story. Just need to make sure we get that clarified.
Right. Yeah, so I'll do this as a countdown from 5 through to 1, because that's what it was based on. It was the top 5s. So in 5th place, Battlefield Bad Company 2. Very popular, obviously, for the multiplayer. Number 4, you had F1 2010, and that was a massive community game, and still is, and still running competitions on that on a weekly basis. Number 3, and we've just been talking about it a lot, Mass Effect 2.
Wait a minute, number 3?
Mm-hmm.
Number 3.
Yeah, what's going on, community?
Number three.
The voters. You gotta remember who's voting.
Yeah, yeah. This is just like the elections all over again. Go ahead, go ahead.
Okay. Number two. Anybody shout out if they don't agree? Somebody put a gag on Chris. Call of Duty Black Ops.
I'm shocked that it's number two for the gay community, though.
It is number two, and this is straight from the horse's mouth. So
it's got great multiplayer, you know, and zombies is cool.
Of course, yeah, it has, and it is probably the best. A lot of people always chirp back to Call of Duty 4, but I do think the multiplayer on this is the best it's ever been.
Yeah, this is the best COD game I've played. Easily.
Definitely. There's not been half as many issues online with it playing up, apart from matchmaking and spawn issues. But there's been if you compare it to Modern Warfare 2, the amount of glitching that was going off with that thing in the first 6 months, we've not had half as many issues with this. And it looks like they're also paying close attention to the DLC side of things. So, yeah, worthy mention, and the votes say it all.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the big one, which is number one from the community. Insert a drum roll here. If you're a cheesy podcast, we're not, so we won't.
I was just going to give you a drum roll, but I won't do that.
You just hold off there, Gregors.
My finger was on the button.
the winner and title holder for 2010 is Red Dead Redemption. So,
yay.
There you go.
Yay. I'm holding it in my hands as we speak. Is everyone else holding it in their hands, kissing it?
I hold it in my hands every day. Red Dead Redemption, it was definitely worthy of Game of the Year. We were talking about it earlier. I mean, yes, my vote would have been for Mass Effect 2, but certainly Red Dead was right there with it. And I know Mike Chin definitely would have said Red Dead Redemption for his votes. You can't really argue with it. It was a well-done single player, you know, excellent multiplayer.
You know, everything was there, Greg. You know, the story was great, but the world was well-designed, and I think that's where GTA 4 fell off a bit. You know, the world, although was amazing in its design, it kind of felt a bit dead because there wasn't much to do, but Red Dead Redemption turned that around, didn't it, and just gave you, you know, you didn't have to make your own fun. It was all there. There was always stuff to do.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
I was just about to say, it was so good, it had three endings for me. It was like having three games in one. Because I was one of the idiots that didn't look for the credits.
Well, I was right there with you. I will say, I did feel the story was, I thought it faltered at the end. And that was one of my knocks on it, is that I thought the delivery of the story, I think they got a little lost up in finishing up the game. And they kind of, in a sense, didn't really do a good job of tying in some of the reasons for the way things worked out.
Yeah, the very end of it, when the second of three endings occurred, they didn't really give you a good explanation as to why that was happening. I mean, you kind of knew it was coming,
right?
But they never really tied it in. I kind of agree with that.
I mean, I knew the reason, and it's because the guy who you're doing the stuff for didn't want any loose ends, you know. So he wanted to clear it all out.
Yeah. But they didn't
Well, they didn't convey that in the story. Let's just put it that way. You were never explained.
Yeah, it was kind of a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, the loose ends was never conveyed, and it was like it was just happening. And
the question is, you know, why didn't he want any loose ends? Is he running for office? Is he trying to, you know?
Why are we bothered about talking about this? We've already spoiled it anyway, haven't we?
Yeah, kind of.
And it's a year old.
We had this discussion before, didn't we?
We spoiled it a few shows ago, but
yeah.
Let's spoil it. It's a year old. Come on.
All right. So if you don't want to hear this, then stop listening now. But we're going to talk it up real quickly. So the ending of Red Dead Redemption.
Just fast forward.
You know, I mean, he's out there. He's, you know, got his family back. John Marston's doing the family thing. And you go through, quite honestly, what I felt was a little bit too long a time of just doing these monotonous kind of missions. I thought could have shortened that up a little bit, because I knew the ending was coming. I knew that something bad was going to have to happen because there's no way the game was just going to continue on with me being a farmer. And so
yeah.
I was waiting for it to happen, and then suddenly it's just like out of the blue. Here come the sheriffs riding up. And I was okay with the posse coming up. I figured there would be some kind of confrontation.
Dialogue.
Nothing. They just start shooting. And that was really where I was just like, it was a big disappointment for me.
I think what they could have done better, actually, because I didn't really think of it like this, because I sort of, as soon as I saw it, I knew straight away, I thought, you know, he doesn't want loose ends, this guy, this federal marshal. But what they could have done was maybe add, because Wes Dickens was in Blackwater, wasn't he? Because he was going to jail for something.
Yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
They could have had him run to the farm or something and say, John, I've come from the town, they're all getting together to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, even then, just something like that, just to let you know that the story was, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, and I still don't even know, really, what loose ends that other marshal would have truly been afraid of. That was, I mean, it because of the way it all got wrapped up and the way it had been, you know, doled out to John Marston in terms of what he was doing to basically, you know, get his redemption and redeeming for him, it didn't seem to me that there was any reason for the marshal to be like, I need to clean up these loose ends. Because, I mean,
well,
unless...
it's all about redemption. Maybe, well, but maybe they're going to do something with that marshal guy or that federal guy. Maybe maybe the story got cut short or something.
Maybe.
They could have added in a bit more of him.
But what I guess what I'm missing is, and maybe this did happen at the very beginning of the game and I didn't catch it, but I was under the impression that John Marston was released basically under the guidance of the law and made a marshal by the jailers to go out and get this guy. And that they were doing that in a legal way. So, again, I like harken back to, I didn't understand why this guy suddenly felt like there was a quote-unquote loose end to take care of.
No, it wasn't like that, mate. It was, the story of it is, the marshal wanted all these people dead because, like, he'd been told from government or whatever. And what he did was he kidnapped, it was off the books, off the records, he kidnapped John Marsden's family and blackmailed him to do it instead so he didn't have to do it himself. So he made John Marsden go out and kill all his old gang members to get his family back. And then when he gave him his family back, he decided, fuck it, I'm going to get kill John Marsden now, okay, just so that no one finds out.
Okay, because I missed that subtlety in the story because I was under the impression that, you know, they released him, you know, in the sense making him a marshal to allow him to go after these guys that he formerly knew. And it was because he knew them so well, he would be the perfect person to bring them back to justice. And as long as did that, they would basically give him his pardon and set him up with his family.
Yeah, there were threats on the wife and kid's life. I can remember that in the dialogue. So
yeah,
I do remember the threats in a sense, kind of like if you don't stick with this program, it's going to go bad for not just you, but for your family. But I never got the impression, and again, I could very well be wrong, but I never got the impression that what he was doing was somehow outside of the law.
That's because you live in the Wild West.
Yeah, you live there, Greg.
You see this as being acceptable, Greg.
Exactly.
And it's just not the way people roll. No. Not nowadays, anyway.
No, it is. It totally is. Totally is. All right. Let's get back on course, guys. Let's give some honorable mentions. Skull, I believe there were a bunch of games that also got some votes, for different areas, and so I think it's worthy that we, you know, kind of bring these games, to light and give them some honorable mentions because, well, they deserve it.
Yeah, there's quite a few which I don't think ever had a chance of getting a massive amount of votes. The first one not being one of them, because it's a massively popular game, but props have to be given out to Halo Reach, because it did get a lot of votes. Multiplayer on that is always going to stay popular.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure Chris would like to go along with this. Fallout New Vegas was getting a large volume of the vote, along with Alan Wake as well. Then you move on to not the littler titles, but ones which aren't going to get as much attention. A massive game for me this year, which I don't think ever had a chance of getting up there, was Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Because that in itself was such an original game for me. I mean, I've never been a massive fan of Mario. But just playing that after hearing Steve Conger talking about it on the Gamesman, actually getting it, for the Wii and trying it out and then just thinking, this is a really, really well thought out game.
Well, yeah. It probably should be noted kind of along with what you're saying is that, you know, this is the community at GATE in terms of how they voted. And let's face it, the GATE community is very 360 heavy. So it's not surprising in some respects that a game like, you know, Super Mario Galaxy 2 on the Wii or games on the PS3 weren't getting as many votes. And that's kind of why we're wanting to give them mentions, because they were worthy. And, you know, had we been a community that was a little more evenly, you know, spread out among consoles, then the voting would have been vastly different, I think.
Yeah. We're not fanboys. We do acknowledge that
absolutely.
Games from other consoles are great. I mean, Super Mario Galaxy 2 this year coming out, it's making me... I'm going out in a couple of months and I'm going to pick up a Wii just because there's been so many good Wii games this year.
Yeah, I just picked up my Wii.
Well, there
Sorry,
you go.
Totally different topic.
Oh, God.
Moving on.
Make it stop.
Yeah. The last thing to say on that as well is it does actually use motion and control to its best possible, you know, abilities for that device. And moving on from that, something else that was quite a big surprise in the voting, but it did get in there, was Kinect Sports. And, you know, again, you talk about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood coming late to the party with the multiplayer. Well, Kinect Sports as well. I mean, you've got to think about it. It's only been out a couple of months.
Yep.
And, you know, it's getting votes out there. There's a lot of people which I would have never thought would pick up something like this. And the community is very heavy with people that have got the Kinect, especially more so now after Christmas. Just have to read the Twitters. And there's lots of people on it. So it's definitely got a future. It's just a case of seeing what they do with it. So, yeah, it's good to see that they're getting a mention as well. Regular games as well that were getting mentions were Fable 3, Bayonetta, God of War 3. And then another thing that was creeping in, which didn't have to, was, you know, for overalls and top five voting, people were putting in XBLA titles, which, again, the XBLA over the last year especially has picked up a massive amount of momentum. So, yeah, Limbo, Plants vs. Zombies, Deathspank all got votes.
Yep.
And then finally, on the dead platform, as Mr. Mike Chin would call it, the PC.
Piss off.
We had titles like Minecraft and Civilization 5 getting in there, so, yeah.
Now, Civ 5, I've heard, is an outstanding game as well. It's actually getting some nods for Game of the Year from a strategy game standpoint, so it's well worth mentioning.
What else is worth mentioning as well is, although it's not on this list because no one's really played it yet, but I have got Back to the Future for PC, but I haven't played it yet. I only got it a couple of days ago, so it may have been on my list if it's any good.
Well, only time will tell if it may have made the list or not. But we do know what made the list, and I think after all that, it's probably time we take our break. Instead of giving you our normal music interlude, this week Skulldugger happened to come across, well, let's just say a priceless phone call that we wanted to share with you. This is an actual recording of a woman dialing into 999 over in the UK, which is the equivalent of 911 here in the US.
Hey, police emergency.
Hello, I need the police, please.
Okay, what's happening?
Well, what happened was there's been a theft from outside my house.
Okay, when did this occur?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, because I ain't been out to check on him for about 5 hours. But I went out about 5 minutes ago to have a fag, and he's gone. So it could be in the last 5 hours, but I know there's CCTV up this road.
Who's gone, sorry?
My snowman.
Right, your snowman's been stolen?
Yeah.
Right, okay, in the last 5 hours?
Well, 4 to 5 hours, I can't be sure exactly.
And what do you mean? What, a snowman actually made out of snow or an ornament?
No, he's made out of snow. I made him myself.
Right, okay.
He had two of my teaspoons in his arms and money on his face. I'm not being funny. I know it's only a snowman, but I thought he'd be fine. What if it being icy and that? People ain't been walking up and down the road. It ain't a nice road, but at the end of the day, you don't expect someone to nick your snowman. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, we are back from the break, and, well, we'd normally be jumping into new releases this week, asking Grandma to play some music for us, but there is literally just nothing coming out this week.
Back to the Future came out. Yeah.
Well, Back to the Future, I think it came out last week, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Okay.
But
Did it come out last week, or did it come out next week, or in, you know what I'm saying?
It came out next year and just came back to this week. I don't know.
Right, or it could have come out in 1955.
It's crazy.
Who knows?
More importantly, though, there really just is nothing to announce for new releases.
Nope.
Outside of there are a bunch of Deal of the Week stuff going on. I know on both the PSN as well as the XBLA networks, they're still doing a lot of deals for the end of the year, so go check them out. Lots of different games being announced out. I think there is Mass Effect 2 DLC going on today as part of their year-end lead-up, so check it out.
Being the PC guy, there is a lot of Steam sales on at the moment as well, and over at the EA store, there's a lot of sales. I'm going to mention it now while we're talking about it. I got a £10 voucher off EA for my birthday to use at the EA store, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I like that they do that. I just wish their prices from the EA store were a little more in line with what Steam does.
Yeah. I mean, they've got some good deals at the moment.
Yeah. But anything current is pretty much full boat, even if it's a PC download.
Yeah. I mean, I gave my code away on the forums, though. I had a little competition. Tell me your best Christmas story. So I'll do it in my shout-out.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, we are going to move on to a little bit of that old mailbag. So yeah, mailbag, Mr. Primrose.
Mailbag. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, we just because it was the awards week, we threw a casual game for everybody to play on the forums, which was A to Z of games, along with a silly word afterwards, and there was a lot of audience participation into that.
Yep.
I think on a quieter week, we might play the same game ourselves, but we did get emails as well, so. Nice. We'll jump straight into them. Thank everybody for entering that little quiz, because it was a good laugh.
Yeah, it's just fun stuff. Nothing just too serious.
Beautiful. Yeah, and we'll move straight into the first email, which was from Mark Wright, Mr. Markanix, who I was thoroughly enjoying stabbing and getting stabbed by tonight. Yeah, he's just wrote in, "Season's greetings, OC crew. Hope you all had a great Christmas, and Santa brought you all loads of games. I got Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Kinect Sports. So I'm very happy. I love NFS Hot Pursuit, and the introduction of the autolog is genius, as it makes you say that classic phrase, just one more go, in order to beat your friend's times. I'm looking forward to picking that up myself.
Yep.
In the next couple of days. I haven't got too far into the career mode yet, but so far, so good. Sadly, I haven't had any chance to try Kinect Sports or Assassin's Creed Brotherhood yet. Well, I'll correct you there, mate, because you was on it tonight with me. So, yeah, job done. I did watch my son play Kinect Sports, though, and it looks fun. A few others are getting together tonight to play Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Well, that's just gone by. So, yeah, Back to the Future fun and all that malarkey. I can tell you, you've already done that, mate. I can see my new bass getting pwned big time as my copy is still in its wrapper. So was mine, mate. So, yeah, there was a lot of noobs. We were all noobing it, apart from Dave Dog. And I think it was Kale Ingram who was quite tasty on it as well. But, yeah, it was good. It was it was quite evenly balanced. And, yeah, we enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to hearing the results of the Game of the Year polls as soon as this shows up on iTunes. Well, I'm going to keep this short, and I need to get some practice in for Assassin's Creed. So here's wishing you all, the OC peeps, and all the Gate members, and all the listeners, a very happy new year. And the same to you, mate.
Yep.
That's from Mark.
Thank you for that, Mark. Would you like me to tackle the next one?
You can jump into that next one, mate.
I will do so. All right, so the next email is from our good friend David Brown. I think you also know him as David the Alien.
David the Alien?
David the Alien, yes. So David the Alien goes on to say, hello there, people. How are you all? Just chilling at work, pretty busy right now, but just taking a break to send you an email. Well, thank you for that. I hope you all had a good Xmas and got Fable 3. I hope you all had a good Xmas. Apparently he got Fable 3, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, and a new controller for his Xbox with the adjustable D-pad. Very cool, and I notice a difference. Yeah, I was really tempted to throw that onto my list, but I have so many controllers. I even have a new one that's in its wrapping still sitting in my my bin that I didn't want to put it on my list, but I'm curious.
You know, side note on that, you know, you're on about technology. Everybody's jumped into the new technology, Kinect.
Right.
My big wish for this year was, and I got it, was a wired controller. So I didn't have any batteries run out on me, and I've got one. I'm so happy.
You know, I could have saved your loved ones a little bit of expense. You probably could have just got the Play and Charge kit, which is basically a wire that attaches to your controller and will charge the batteries while you're playing.
I've had that, and then the thingy runs out on you anyway.
Okay.
Eventually. So, no, I wanted the wired one. Old school.
Old school. Okay. He says he also got FM 2011 for PC, all from Santa, the wife. Hoo-ho.
Yay.
Or whoa-hoo. Or ho-ho.
Yeah, he was actually having trouble trying to find a copy because he's in the States. Community, we tried to help him out.
It's not easily come by over here. He says, what I've been playing, well, games from the above, plus Borderlands, FIFA 11, F1 2010, and Forza 3. Loving Fable 3, not far in at all, but it's really good in my opinion, despite certain issues, especially when in co-op with frame rate and sparkly way marker disappearing, but I can easily overlook that. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, I think is great too, some mindless fun, and the Autolog is just a great addition as it really adds to the gameplay and really makes it competitive between friends. I think the Autolog really kind of tapped into that Trials HD, you know, competitiveness. You see your friend scores, you want to beat your friend scores, and it's so easy just to jump back into another, you know, another run. But
even Fable's doing that now. That's a popular thing, isn't it?
It really is. I think a lot of developers took note of kind of what Trials did and making it so easy to see what your friend's scores were and how you could just, you know, if you just scored one more point, you'd one-up them. But then the brilliance of being able to send that message of, you know what, I just took you. That's I think the true hook for that. But anyway, he goes on, FM 2011, as always, is really in depth and without realizing what's going on, a few hours have passed. Speaking of hours, it has taken me about 2 hours to finish this email. Lol. It's probable mumbo jumbo by now, but it's the thought that counts. It says, David, but he has one more thing from me. I would like to give a shout-out to Flyers Avs Girl and Todd's Chicky Nugs, as they had a contest on Pinball FX2, and the winner received a tin of cookies, which, of course, was me. Woohoo! I guess that's what he was trying to say. Woohoo! Yeah. Marcanix, the cookies are great. I don't know if Marcanix made the cookies or if Marcanix, in fact, wanted the cookies really badly. Either way. Congratulations to David for winning the contest and for emailing us, because that's the even bigger award. It's just hearing your name, David the Alien.
Yeah, congratulations.
Said over and over on the internet.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add a big in there for David, because I know he loves them.
We all appreciate those, Skull. We do.
Emma Marcanics and Greasy Fish Lips have been taking the piss out of me like Wano on Twitter. So that's for you. All of you.
Moving on. Mr. Matthew, I think it's time we talk some community play dates.
It is. Well, there's not much going on this week given the holidays with Christmas and the upcoming New Year's holiday. But Sunday, the continuing saga of the Gaming for the Elderly F1 Championships this week is round six at Monte Carlo, Monaco. So if you want to get in there and do some F1 racing, go ahead and join him in. And still ongoing is the Hot Lap Challenge Christmas Special. So ironically, if you post the fastest lap time on the Xbox 360 exclusive Forza Motorsport 3, you can win a copy of the PlayStation 3 explosive exclusive Gran Turismo 5. So that's just how we do things at Gaming for the Elderly. We just love all the consoles. And that's what we got going on. But I am, I'm going to throw out there that Saturday, which I believe is January 1st, no?
If not, close.
Well, anyway, whatever day Saturday is, at 3 p.m. Eastern time, I'm going to see if we can't get some Assassin's Creed Brotherhood going on. So come on out and join in for that, too.
I will confirm that Saturday is indeed January 1st.
So there it is. Sleep off your hangover and then play some Assassin's Creed Brotherhood with us. Let's see. Birthdays this week. Best Dutch is 41. Catching up with you, Greg.
Yep.
Wolverine is 30. And new members over the last 10 days. Welcome to the community, Cat's Eye Red, J.Bizzle, which I believe is the returning J.B from the old Over 35's website. The Krell, Justin, Rosie X, Hardly Dan, which is a...
I believe he's one of the gamesmen.
Yes, coming over from the gamesmen. And Uberfeld.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Mr.
And Richard Webster would like to say something.
Yeah, on last week's show, because I haven't listened to it yet, was I mentioned in the birthdays at the end?
Yes, you were.
Yes.
I'm going to give that a listen tomorrow when I'm
playing
Fable.
And throughout the show.
I'm glad to see that you're listening to the show when you're not on it.
I didn't listen to last week. I've been busy. I had Christmas and Christmas Day and birthday and everything.
Yeah, I'll give you that. The birthday especially. You're getting older now. You're starting to forget things already. It's a good sign.
I know, yeah. What's my name again?
I don't know.
What's my age again?
Something around 20.
20-something.
Yeah. 80.
Yep. All right. Let's talk some closing notes. Let's wrap this show up. Mr. Matthew.
Mr. DeLacy.
If you're going to send us an email, what email would be the best one to use to get an email to us?
The best email to use would be ocpodcast@gmail.com. That would be Oscar Charlie Papa, Oscar Delta Charlie, Alpha Sierra Tango @gmail.com. Not the old email, which I won't tell you because then you'll write that one down.
Right. Let's not confuse the elderly.
Exactly.
All right, speaking of confusing, iTunes reviews. iTunes reviews are very easy to come by and easy to do. Zune reviews, not so easy to come by, but they're both able to be done. And we certainly do encourage you to stop by, give us a review, preferably 5 stars, just saying. And maybe the review could be something like this. And this is from David the Alien. Posted on December 22nd of this year, said, fantastic, a must listen by all. And he gave us 5 stars even. Says, great podcast that covers everything gaming and then some. Well worth the 5 stars. Been listening now for a few weeks, and I really can't get enough. Great show each week with outstanding content. Very much recommend for sure by me. Keep up the great work, /banter, David the Alien. So, yeah, thank you, David. Thank you for that fantastic review. I would like to encourage everybody from the community, get in there, give us some reviews. The more reviews we get, the higher up our podcast will go and the listings, and it'll be easier for other people to find us and not only find the podcast, but find the Gate community. So we encourage all, give us a vote. And on that note, we'll move on to closing comments. So, Mr. Matthew, I know you had a few shout-outs that you wanted to give.
Well, Rich already mentioned, Richie Boy P, that is, already mentioned the gents from the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood session, so just a thanks again to all of them. And even though you just read his review, I'm going to mention David the Alien, only because he told me the other day that he hates being mentioned on podcasts, so he will now be mentioned on every subsequent podcast. nothing but love for you. And those were mine. So, Richard Webster, go.
I'm going to shout out David the Alien for giving us a nice review and an email. Shout out Mark Hannix because he won the Richard Webster 2010 EA code giveaway question competition.
Congratulations.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, EA sent me a £10 voucher to use on their store for my birthday, and I had a little competition on the forums just to say, give us a good Christmas story.
Now, can you read off maybe his Christmas story? Do you have that handy?
Yeah. No, of course I will. Yeah. I think we should. There was a few, actually, that...
I think we should hear the winning one.
Yeah, there was a few that were worth winning, but I think Mark Hannix stole it for me. And I'll read that out now. He says, when he was a nipper, my dad put a house brick in a big box and wrapped it up. I was so excited as it was a big heavy box until I opened it. After he stopped laughing, he brought out my real present, which was a Scalextric set. Oh, happy days. So that was a good Christmas story, so I sent him that voucher. So make sure you spend that before the 31st, mate, because it does expire, apparently.
Yeah.
They're not that generous. I'm also going to shout out all the people that sent me a message on Facebook saying happy birthday, because there was a few from the community, there's a few from this show right here, and there was actually two from the old community as well over on the Couch Mercenaries.
Excellent.
Yeah, we had people I'd forgotten existed, really, JF Gratan, Pig Smooth 8, said happy birthday, and McLovin as well.
Oh, McLovin.
Yeah, it's been a while. Mate, Dave Frisch, he sent me a nice happy birthday. And got to shout out my beautiful girlfriend as well for getting me some class games for my birthday and Christmas. And all the gaming for the elderly folks, really, because we were introduced to them at the end of the year as their podcast, and hopefully we're going to have a great year coming up.
Indeed.
And I'd just like to throw out to the community, next show is going to be next year. It's going to be a whole new year. So email us in with what you're looking forward to. Of 2011 gaming wise, what new things, you know, just to remind you, we've got 3DS, we've got L.A. Noire, we'll probably have the new Call of Duty, you know, Mass Effect 3 maybe.
Brink.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Brink, of course.
Lots,
you know, there's so many things.
To.
Yeah, so email us in and tell us what you're looking forward to for next year. And that's me, so Primrose, go.
Yeah, I've got numerous shouts. First of all, people from the lag community, who I latched onto a game of Black Ops last week, and they very kindly, after pony my arse, as I went in as a random on the other side, invited me in, and great bunch of folks. Yeah, they're a very good set, and welcomed me in with open arms. Shout out to Steve Roberts and NightXXL for keeping me entertained on Twitter. And also, Greasy Fishlets and David the Alien, for barraging me with, fucking abuse. And, also having a Man United loving. Now, I'd like, Marty, who's Greasy Fishlets, to send me an email in, because I want an explanation of how he's a red, and then yet his Twitter logo's got a Norwich City emblem on it. So, yeah. Send me in an explanation, mate, because I've got no idea what that's all about. And then more Blops people. All praise to me, Dino, Ginge Ninge, Schoolfrax, Firefly, The Crow, who we've just mentioned as a new member, Raw Finch, and Duke. Shout out to all of them for having great times on Blops. And also, I'd like to shout out anybody that I've played multiplayer with over the last year, because truly it is awesome knocking about with all of you guys. It's not just gaming and chatting. A lot of people that you have banter with, they're like true friends. And yeah, I appreciate that a lot. There's a lot of good people out there, and I'm enjoying everybody's company immensely. So here's to 2011. Over to you, Greg.
I just feel all kinds of warm and fuzzy right now. You know, I always want to remind people that when you're listening to this, if you like what you're hearing, if you like video gaming podcasts, there's a bunch of other great podcasts to be found over at vghub.net. It's got links to a bunch of different podcasts, as well, of course, our community, the Gate community. Of course, if you want to just peruse our podcast website, you can go over to theoverseasconnection.net. That's all one word, and we're right there. And, you know, I also want to shout out all of you guys, specifically you guys on the podcast, Mr. Matthew, Mr. Primrose, Mr. Webster, and, of course, Mr. Chin. You guys have all made a year of gaming that much better. And so while I say goodbye to 2010, I know 2011 is going to be just that much better. And, well, before I get all teary-eyed, I do have a couple quotes. And I didn't want to go without saying these. So, first of all, we had a quote from talk show host Larry King. He was questioning a doctor of marine and atmospheric science about tsunamis. And his question was, so it is a natural phenomenon. And then moving on to ESPN. Sports analyst Kenny Mayne.
Can I just come back a minute? Yes. Larry King, is he one of your most esteemed broadcasters in the whole of America?
He was. Well, he was held in pretty high regard for quite a while. And then he kind of waned a little bit. But, yeah. So Kenny Mayne over at ESPN, he was talking about the horse Funny Side. He said, other than being castrated, things have gone quite well for Funny Side. And on that note, we're done. We're out of here. We'll see you next year.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody.
Good night. That's it.
That's the noise I love in here.
There you go. Is that better?
Yeah, there's the hiss. All right. 30 seconds now. Keep quiet. And Rich, don't mute your microphone, whatever you do.
Okay.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the... It's going to be one of those shows.
No, don't do it. We want first take. First take.
I've got a picture to show you guys.
Nothing to do with that interruption.
I know. All right. Let's try this again. Here we go.
I think it's also like games.
Hang on, Chris.
What?
Start now.
Or day, if you're listening to it in the day.
Yeah. Or afternoon.
Whatever.
Or evening.
Whatever. Just fuck off.
Yeah, maybe.
He's been quiet.
I'll probably be back in about an hour though, so.
Right on. I may see you then.
I'm gonna go and bug my Shih Tzu then.
Yes, do.
Please.
Bug your Shih Tzu.
Bug your Shih Tzu. Don't pet it for long.
I'm gonna go and put my bum cream on and then maybe go sleep.
Nice.
That was much more information than I needed.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Alright guys, I'll talk to you later.
Toodles.
Piles at 25. Good night.